Rise and shine, Atlanta. We are 7 days away from what? We'll tell you here in a few minutes. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Swidbilly. She is the First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, the Queen of Tofu. And I call them Allie's Army members because I think that's what she likes. The Miss Allie Mack, not to be confused with Amy Mack or any other name that starts with an A you might have for her. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And we have back there, we're back in the Kia Studios. We have visual proof here of Dylon, the worst waiver in Atlanta sports radio, Matthews. And also an avid Eagles fan.
Immediately.
Good morning.
Starting with
one
that.
Of these days, Dylon. One of these days. One of these days. He's like, I'm out.
He's like,
not even defending my honor anymore.
Not
it's just ridiculous.
Correct that.
Well, before we start the show, I will give my daily disclaimer that I am a Falcons fan.
No, I just started the show. It's now started.
Before we get into the
shows you what he feels about your opening.
Meat and potatoes of the show, I would just like to remind everybody that I am a Falcons fan, diehard Falcons fan. And back to you.
Well, happy Friday
there
to
it is.
Everyone. That's how Dylan says it, so that's how I'll say it today.
There's a D in there.
Allegedly. Today, coming up
Hey, yo.
Wow, I tell you what.
That took a second.
I didn't expect you to do that, but I love it. we already got like half the audio for the opening, for the rewind fun day.
I mean,
it's not going to be hard.
Tell me you've been at training camp 2 days this week. Let's just go through what's going to be happening on the show today. 6:40 today, we are resting the rookie report. We're going to have some fun with a new game called Flip It Friday.
Oh.
Yes.
Is it like Flip Cup?
Why am I automatically terrified when you come up with ideas? I don't know why. Like, I don't know why. Like, whenever I have an idea, I'm like, golly. I'm going to sound dumb in this idea. I just know it.
You know what's funny is, like, we just do a show, and she'll come into a segment. She's like, oh, I got a quiz, or I got a trivia game. I'll make y'all look stupid. I quizzed her on something the other day at camp that I told her, like, the first day, and she's like, I'm not here for your quizzes. And I was like, well, damn, okay.
This has nothing to do with that, bud.
That's so funny. I was like, I'm not here for a pop quiz. I don't think so.
Show yourself out.
Pop quiz knows.
7 o'clock today, Jesse Bates joined us yesterday after practice, and it was hot. So it was very awesome of him to do that. He also said something that shocked Mike about something that the rookies are doing right now. It was just something that is unheard of, correct?
Yes.
Just one, though, I think.
Truly is.
Yeah.
Okay. It is just one rookie, and I couldn't believe it. I thought about it all day yesterday. I was like, this is crazy.
All right. Well, you will hear that. It's 7 o'clock, 7:40. It's another round of Fair or Foul Friday. And then at 8:20, the Grant McCauley will join us to talk all things Braves and the trades that weren't. But let's go ahead and talk about that. It was oddly quiet on the Braves front when 6 o'clock hit. Do you think everyone was just looking around like, Ozuna, you're still here? You're here.
From the Braves.
Maybe, but they probably knew because they saw Snit Bear and the dugout probably,
yeah,
and they're like,
yeah,
maybe Ozuna's still here. I think there's some shock. The outrage that I have seen, which I know that's not everyone, but there's a part of the they, that there's an outrage.
Nice word. I'll take that.
And I'm like, guys, I understand, but I'm not sure what you thought was going to happen. I sat here and I tried my best on the radio and on Twitter, and I know Grant did too, to say, hey, this huge haul or anything that you think you're going to get a 19-year-old top 50 prospect for a 34-year-old DH who can't play the field, who can't run, and can barely swing it right now because of injury, who's hitting, you know, he's got 15 home runs, I think, on the season. There's not going to be this big haul. Or a relief pitcher who essentially has one pitch.
But you didn't expect anything to happen yesterday.
I expected them to try to move and maybe get, like, I expected them to get a pitcher that was aging out of a system,
mm-hmm,
and it could come back in. I think the reality was, is they're like, so we're going to get a guy that we're going to finish a year with, and then he's going to be gone. That's not getting anything for it. And I don't think to them that was not worth doing that. That wasn't worth what that wasn't worth it for them. And I don't blame him in that aspect if that's what it was, right?
Well, why not worth it? I want you to go deep in this. I don't necessarily disagree, but just tell me what you're meaning when you say why not worth it. Because what's the
The
flip side is what's the upside to keeping Marcell Ozuna and Raisel Iglesias? There's not much.
Well, I think you got to look at can we agree of what the core is on this team? And it's the Rileys, the Olsen, Acuna, obviously Michael Harris. Like these are guys, Baldwin, Murphy. These are guys that are going to be back next year, right? Unless something crazy goes on in the offseason. They're not going to say, hey, we're trading guys you like. Ozuna is a big clubhouse guy who also had a 10-5, but I don't think that was an issue at all.
No.
But Ozuna is a big clubhouse guy. We're going to trade Marcell for this this relief pitcher who literally is aged out of their system. We're going to bring him up and let him toss, you know, we're going to basically make our team much worse, get rid of a clubhouse guy for nothing. And players aren't dumb. They understand that's absolutely nothing. They know that you just got rid of the guy to get rid of him. And I don't think that's good necessarily for clubhouse morale and going forward of what, because you're looking around like, how did this make us better? How did this help us in any way as a player? I mean, you don't like that. I just think that Alex said it. We're not going to salary dump just a salary dump.
And I think it's fair from Alex. I mean, I think you do have an obligation that I don't think a lot of people agree with that, you know, to keep a product on the field that people are going to buy tickets for throughout the remainder of the season. You still have 50-plus games left in the season, so I get it from that aspect. I don't know. I do, though, understand the upside that some of the pushback is like, what's the upside of keeping Marcell here? There's not a lot. I mean, his contract's going to run out, and you're not going to the playoffs, and you're going to have nothing. So anything, it feels like, could have been better in return. You're also, and we talked about this a little bit back during spring training, I'm really curious to get Grant's thoughts on this today. We're talking about a minor league system that is like third from the bottom in terms of Major League Baseball. So it just, I don't know. They didn't make moves. I understand it to an extent, but I was obviously disappointed yesterday that nothing came about at the trade deadline for any of these guys.
And I understand that, but if you're not going to get a minor league player that can fit in that system and be down there, then you're not getting anything. And that's what I think it was going to be. Remember the Braves made this the trades in 21 alley where they traded guys that literally couldn't, they had basically aged out of their minor league system in that way. And they had to, there's a rule about it. And I Grant can tell us when he comes on, cause I'm not huge on the baseball lingo with the minor league stuff, but basically it was crap or get off the pot with those players. Mm-hmm. And they were able to trade them for Eddie Rosario, who had barely played all year and hadn't been good with that necessarily when he played. And he hit a 2-week stretch in the postseason where he was good, or a week and a half, whatever, one series. You traded something similar for Soler, right? And you got Bryce Wilson was a guy that really had two pitches. You didn't think he was going to be a guy that was much in that system. You got him you traded him and got something. But those guys they weren't anything. They weren't going to be in your system. They weren't helping you next year. You got something. Montero, you traded for Jim Jarvis, who is a utility infielder right now, and he's a minor league player that you think can kind of be that guy down that you can have some call-ups for and you can bring up. That is something, and they got something. But again, Iglesias is a one-trick pony necessarily. He's a late-innings reliever that doesn't have anything this year, not much. I mean, he did well last night. Actually, Ozuna and Iglesias won the game last night, ironically enough.
It's true.
They just didn't dump to dump, and I think some of that's about clubhouse. I do
want to go back a little bit, and I know we'll get to the Falcons in a little bit as well, but I do want to go back a little bit because you were talking about, can we all kind of agree on what the core of this team is? And you and I have been back and forth over this over the last couple of weeks of what exactly the core is. I completely agree that I think Austin Riley's part of the core. I think Matt Olson's part of the core. I have been out a little bit on Michael Harris being part of the core. And I think it's so funny because we have spent, I mean, till we're blue in the face from the first time we talked to Grant this year about the back of the baseball card. Start looking at, what was Albies at, 4 hits last night? Michael Harris, another couple of hits. Mm-hmm. Start looking at these guys, and it almost feels like You know the term when you're dieting, empty calories?
Yes.
Like in terms like it feels like empty calories. You're going to, they're eventually going to stay hot for the next 3 or 4 weeks, mm-hmm. and they're going to get to these stats that are on the back of their baseball card. And it just feels like it's too little too late. And that's just, that was just one of my many takeaways off of a 16-run eighth inning last night.
Can I be like, a little, can I be a little bit of the optimist and devil's advocate? I agree with you about one of them completely. But I think for me, with Michael Harris, he's such a young player. His defense is so good. I would dare to say his adjustments that he made gives me slight hope.
I agree. No, I didn't do a good enough job of wording it. I completely agree with what you're saying because I think that I have started to look at the quote unquote back of the baseball card, and I am starting to add up the fact that when we get to the end of the season, he is going to be part of that Braves core, and he is going to be the center fielder for the foreseeable future.
I do want to mention it was the craziest of a crazy game last night in Cincinnati, 12-11. We did win in the 10th inning, but the way we got there was insane. We'll talk about that more throughout the show, but coming up next, we're going to get into Falcons training camp from yesterday. Raheem spoke, Kyle Pitts was on with Dukes and Bell. We'll play some of that for you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and Dylan is back behind the glass. So it was another hot day out at Falcons training camp. Had a couple questions answered that had been lingering around Jalen Walker. We'll get to that in a minute, but quick reminder. Today is the first. Pay your mortgage. Pay your rent. Avoid that late fee.
Dylan, where's the first of the month? It's by Bone Thugs and Harmony, man. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's the first of the month.
I got you. I got you.
Do you know that song?
I believe I've heard it a little bit, but I can't say. I couldn't recite any lyrics, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, man. That
is actually shocking.
The confidence in the "I got you" and then in the immediate
"no,
got you." I mean, I can definitely play you the song. But I'm confident in that. But as far as like, I hope you don't want me to sing along because I might not be as good as that.
I don't want to get too deep into my personal information,
great
but
album.
I did something this month that starts midway through this month. I started making my mortgage payments every 2 weeks.
Look at you!
I know.
That's smart.
It's
expensive. You must have money.
Smart. It's cheaper that way, Bo.
You know how much cheaper it is?
So much. You're going to cut so much off that
interest. Off a 30-year mortgage, it's cutting off 5 years of my
mortgage
payments.
Oh, I believe it.
It's crazy.
So, I believe it.
It's crazy.
Because I cut, I'm so poor. I used to pay like $8 more on my truck payment. Every month, and like I was like, oh man, I know this is gonna cut like so much time off, and you know what it did?
It rounded up to the nearest 10.
It cut 2 months off of my
truck. I love it, man.
Over like a 6 year span, but it was, but you know what? I'm just kidding when I rib you about that. I think it's really smart.
I don't know why I haven't done it earlier.
I don't know if a lot of people live in a way that they can do that right now.
Yeah.
So if you can. It's absolutely one of those, is it Clark Howard? Is that the guy that does the money guy? Like,
I don't know.
Anyways.
I mean, he's one of the money guys.
Yeah.
There are many.
Yeah. So, I don't know if we have one on 929, but I think I can say that. But that's like one of those guys' moves, like those brainy, good with money moves. But, or I just put mine in a high yield. I could probably put it towards my mortgage, but I just put it in one of those high yields and the interest rate keeps going down.
It all came about because my wife and I were talking about a home project and we were talking about like, hey, this is going to last. You know, if we did this, it could last another 15 years.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, where are we going to be in 15 years? And I was like, well, our son's going to be in his junior year of college.
Whoa.
And you're like, dear God. What?
I mean, Stevie will be like a freshman, right?
Yeah, she'll be a freshman or sophomore. Yeah.
You'll still be working in.
Oh, no doubt.
Man,
but I mean, I'm not going to go any further, but it can't be too much worse than daycare. Just getting torn to shreds,
dude,
on the daycare payments, man.
The amount of money my first semester, or I say the first semester I ever paid for cost of college to the internship semester of college where I literally did not even go to school.
Yeah.
And what I paid.
Yeah.
I mean, just in that 6 years, it jumped.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. I do have so many girlfriends that like purposely don't work because it makes no sense with daycare.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it just
cancels out their income.
It's absurd.
Absolutely absurd. Okay, so moving on to Falcons training camp from yesterday. So we've all been kind of wondering what's going on with Jalen Walker. He did address that question and we haven't really seen much of him. So Raheem explained there is an injury.
Jalen Walker will not be. Let's address this. So he's got like a small hamstring issue, and it's very minor. And really, the kid is chomping at the bit to go out there and practice, and I won't let him. And, you know, don't want to turn this thing into a long-term thing. Got a lot of faith in what our performance team does and how we go about our business and how we work those guys. So he will go out and do full speed Indy, and then you'll see him on the side training and getting some running, some conditioning, things of that nature in, and then he'll come watch the rest of his teams, and he won't be happy about it. So, and that's what I love about him. And I've talked to him multiple times yesterday. I talked to him multiple times the day before that, and his plan is to go full speed Indy today, and hopefully we can ease him back into it. Very small, minor hamstring that we're having some maintenance on, and just like we talk about with everybody.
I have to just say one thing, and Bo's eyes are lighting up, so I'll let him get in there. But I will just say this. Whether or not you believe the James Pierce move, the trade next year's first, was a good call, like a good play, mm-hmm. At this point in time, I am thanking the good Lord that it was made. Because if we were just straight up talking about Jalen Walker being our first-round pick mm-hmm. and him have barely practiced through the first week of training camp, without James Pierce being in the picture, I would feel very, very down about where this Falcons defense is. And it's not that I think, it's just, I'm talking about strictly outlook. Strictly looking out of the front of the car, out of the windshield and saying, how does it feel right now? And it feels a lot better.
Is it because Jalen Walker has been absent at camp, basically? Or is it because James Pierce has been so noticeable at camp?
It's both. It's definitely both.
Because
and it's the fact that you have completely been deflated on one edge and you've been propped up on the other. I'm like, that's the only thing that makes this palatable.
I don't know where to start with this. First, I'll say that hamstrings scare me. I think a lot of people say here, you know, a muscle pull and they're like, oh man, just glad it wasn't something major. Mm-hmm. But I hear a hamstring pull and I go, I hope that doesn't hamper him all season, because those soft tissue injuries never go away. Never. When you hurt one immediately, they never go away.
But before we hit the panic button on Jalen, Raheem is confident that he's going to be able to play.
You know, it's easy to say it's detrimental, but it's definitely easier to say that I have so much confidence in my coaches off the field. I have so much confidence in my performance staff and how they're going to get them ready from a performance standpoint. And it's nothing long term. So for us, it's like, of course, you want to have guys out there. Of course, you want guys out there every single practice. It's not the reality of our sport. And the reality of our sport is you got to find out how to manage guys. You got to find out how to prepare the right way to get those guys ready to go. So I have so much confidence in what he's done and who he is as a person and a character and bringing it to the game that I know that it won't hurt him as much as most because of who this guy is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, make no bones about it. Missing these reps stinks for him.
Yeah, it does. But I feel so much better because of who he is and where he came from. Georgia player. Seems to be a self-motivated guy a guy that doesn't need to be told to go do this, go to do that. A guy that's going to show up and put all the work in other than other places. So that I don't know if I need to see him at all this preseason.
Wow.
And here's why.
Wow.
Because I just want him healthy and able to go out there. Yes, I'd love to see him play, but I want him healthy for the regular season. And soft tissue injuries, they worry me.
I agree. I mean, to me, and I agree with you to an extent, because I think when I look at, like, baseball players have an oblique injury. When a hitter has an oblique, I'm like, oh, God. Like, it never gets better until the offseason when they have an oblique. I don't look at hamstrings quite to that extent. But not like saying I don't need to see him until the regular season, we don't know what his role is in the regular season. Like, what is he going to be? Nobody knows.
I think he's going to be a backup edge player this year.
I think that nobody knows whether or not at this point that he can help you. I don't think the Falcons know whether or not he can help you in the regular season. And I think that sucks.
It does suck. But you know what I know he can't do is play with a banged up hamstring.
No doubt about that.
I guess the thing for me is if most of his game wasn't based on speed and instincts, I wouldn't be like, if he was a power guy, I'd feel a little bit better. But part of his game is his speed.
Yeah, and I agree what you said about where he came and kind of the person he is. We've obviously heard from him a number of times, and you know, I've talked to Rusty Manziel until I'm blue in the face about the relationship he's had with Jalen Walker and the conversations he'd had with Jalen Walker. So I do think there's that part where you look at him. I also think the position he plays helps to an extent. You know, I think that if you look at hamstring injuries and you're talking about a wide receiver, then I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's not good. I also think that if you're talking about missing a week of training camp and you're a defensive tackle or an offensive guard, you're like, man, he's going to have to work his way back into shape. I think that what Raheem is kind of referencing is like, you know, we trust our training staff. He's doing all the things we need to. He's staying in shape. He's moving around. He's getting movement. We're just not going to push it. I think it helps that he plays kind of that edge outside linebacker, you know, kind of role where you're like, I don't know why. I just trust more that mid-skill position that he'll be able to get it done.
You said it earlier. It does. It's a very comforting, I should say, feeling with Leonard Floyd here, with Ebba Cady, knowing that he's a guy that's going to get you about 6 or 7 sacks, and with James Pierce Jr. I haven't seen any from what you and I have seen from Braylon Trice. He's got a long way to go.
He does, and I'll throw the name out there that I told you yesterday during practice that we haven't talked enough about, and it's Khalid Kareem.
Yeah,
Kareem is a guy that I don't think most casual Falcons fans know what he is, and I'm telling you guys, he is playing a massive role at practice right now. Now, when Jalen Walker comes back and is owed those reps as a first-round pick because you know he's going to get them, I'll be curious to see what their role. Khalid Kareem was both out there with the ones and with, like, the threes yesterday. But like, he played the entire time.
But don't you see him most of the time with his hand in the dirt? I just think it's going to be – I think their roles might be slightly different, but from the same position. Or I mean, I just feel like
I don't know. I haven't seen enough to really – I haven't seen enough of the defensive front to really be able to separate – what exactly they like about each individual kind of outside guy.
I just see Jalen Walker, Braylon Trice, Leonard Floyd, and James Pierce being more stand-up guys. And then you got the Ebba Cadys who can do both. Khalid Kareem, I think, is more of a hand in the dirt. Dorlus has been out there with hand in the dirt, so... and it's obviously grass. There's no dirt. Those practice fields are well manicured.
The turf specialist is going, hey, man, that's nice grass. That's Bermuda.
Ain't no dirt on our
field. Chill out.
Well, it's got to give Jalen some drive to get back to with James Pierce Jr. making all those headlines with the skirmishes that have been happening. But speaking of Georgia, Kirby kicked off training camp yesterday. We'll let you hear some of that next. And we've got my Allie Mac drop. We're going to rest the rookie report this week. I know you're sad about that, but we have something equally as fun, Flip It Friday. We'll try that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging behind the glass. About to play all the audio I've got lined up for Flip It Friday in a moment. This will be an experience, guys.
I'm telling you, you're always you always have some kind of weird game plan going on over there.
I know.
I feel like you're already laughing at me and Bo, and I don't even know what the topic is.
That's why I got I was like, I just couldn't believe what she did to me yesterday. And I was just like, you know, hey, pop quiz. And she's like, I ain't here for your quizzes. Yeah. I was like, damn, I play a game every morning with you. You like, try to embarrass me.
On air, off air, two different things.
I mean, well, yeah, apparently.
She highlighted your strengths yesterday, though. I'll give her that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was a bloodbath. Somebody stopped me in the parking lot. You had just gotten in your truck yesterday. Somebody was like, hey, Squid loved the show this morning. He's like, you really beat Mike's ass in that trivia game.
I just bowed out, man. I'm not even debating that. At a certain point, I was just like, man, go for it.
I was like, yeah. Hey, I want to, real quick, I know you got some, you're going to Kirby. Real quick, college football. Remember that article we talked about from Brandon Marcello?
Yeah.
How he ranked the SEC schedule, just the SEC schedules?
Georgia ranked 14th hardest schedule in the SEC.
Our boy Chris Lowe did his own college football schedule superlative.
Friend of the show, Chris Lowe.
For 2025. Guess who he had the toughest overall Power 4 schedule to? Hint, it wasn't Vanderbilt.
The toughest Power 4 overall schedule? I don't know. He didn't say Georgia, did he?
Nope.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, that's a little bit ridiculous, but somewhere in the middle. I don't know.
Florida. Toughest overall.
Are you Power sure 4. You didn't accidentally update, not update your thing, and he went back to 2024?
July 31st, 2025.
That's crazy, because I actually was going to guess Florida. No lie. No cap.
Interesting.
He goes, just like a year ago, Florida's schedule is again brutal. They're the only team in the SEC facing the league's three highest-ranked preseason teams, with Georgia and LSU away from home. And then he follows up that the LSU trip is followed by a trip to number 21 Miami the next week. So I just thought it was interesting. Brandon Marcello doesn't really have the hardest schedule. They're like the fifth hardest in the SEC. Chris Lowe, who I think is a little bit better as an overall. Remember what we talked about yesterday, how it was weird with the schedule. So anyway, I thought of bringing up as kind of a follow-up before we got into Kirby.
Kind of an interesting point. But yeah, let's go ahead and talk about them dogs. Kirby held his first presser yesterday, and he was talking about preparing both Gunnar and Ryan Puglisi to get the most out of them this season.
Yeah, I think everybody in the country has that problem. That's not unique to us. So as coaches, you know, the problem is not getting the one and two enough reps. Absolutely, there's enough reps to go around. The problem is getting the three and the four enough reps to go around, and we have to be creative to do that. We have to ask more of our coaching staff. We have to be more organized and detailed than others to get, okay, while the ones and twos and threes are going over here, can we get the fourth guy reps? When we're going two spot and we got ones and threes here and twos and fours there, how many reps can we get those guys? But as far as quality reps and getting Ryan and Gunner reps, that's not an issue.
It's interesting to hear him say that. And obviously, you know, Kirby was on staff with me for 3 years at Alabama under Nick Saban. And I would say the biggest change when Mike Shula was let go from Alabama and Nick Saban was hired was the amount of repetitions we got in practice. Mm-hmm. Like the single biggest difference between those two practices was the pace. It was like you don't even had time. These quarterbacks right now don't even have time to process what they did right or wrong on the play before. Like we'll do that later on film. All right, your job is to immediately run back to the huddle and get the next play in because we're going to get as many thousands of reps as possible on this practice. And you know what? We'll process it, break it all down. We'll look at technique. We'll do all that later with a 4K camera from a scissor lift. We'll do all that at a different point. Right now, your job is to get repetitions.
Yeah, and it's very interesting to me how they want to use gun. I think I'm interested in what happens with this quarterback thing because they might have completely different uses for Puglisi and Gunnar Stockton. I'd love to get Rusty's thought on this. Rusty Manziel, you can hear on the Steakhouse today, actually, live from Athens, starting at, 9 o'clock? Yes. Live from the Grindhouse, because that's when we're off, right? And they're 9 to 11. Because
management. Look at that.
Because Kirby has hinted about ways he wants to use Stockton in the run game. And if I didn't know better and everything in my head wasn't that is absolutely never going to happen, I would think that Kirby would almost use a two quarterback system. But I know that's not Kirby. That's not what I just know he's not going to do that. But like, yeah. I keep getting that in my head.
It's not going to happen. But here's what I will say. I think you are more willing to use him on like a third down run when you know that your backup is closer to what he is.
Yeah.
If you just have a guy who was like A1 and then just like the dude and like Heisman finalist, I think you go, hey, can't afford to get him hurt. And you look at like a quarterback competition, at least he's not going to win, but you're like, hey, man, you know what? Maybe Stockton can pull this thing down and run a little bit on third down. I think we'll be all right. I think we'll be okay.
Because he even talked about using John Lillian and Phil Rauscher, who are their like analyst or I guess rushing analyst for the team. And it's very interesting because he goes on like, we have a quarterback who allows us to do more. They both have been around systems that involve that. So it just feels like that Gunnar Stockton might be the guy they're depending on to really break this running game open.
Yeah, and Kirby went on to talk about what he wants to see from the O-line room over the next month.
I think them jail, them play with a chip on their shoulder. We talk about playing with an edge, passion, fire, energy, right? PFE is one of the things we're looking for. No greater position that you possess passion, fire, and energy than O-line. There is something about breaking someone's will or saying I have to move you from point A to point B. And movement is exactly that. Movement is what creates run game.
Passion, fire, and energy, baby. No more position, you know, more important than the offensive line with passion. Moving a guy from point A to point B against his will and saying, hey, man, I got to get this run game going. Talk dirty to me, Kirby. Let's go.
Easy there, big fella.
And look, man.
You done glorifying yourself?
I've told you guys before I am anything, before I'm a Bama, former Bama player or a Falcon, I am an offensive lineman. So I will always sell. I don't care where the guys come from. I will always sell about the big uglies. I love what Kirby had to say right there.
I mean, I want to poke the bear so badly right here. Like, you know.
Do it.
No, nah, I'm good.
Dylan.
Don't be the devil on his shoulder.
it was like his Senator Palpatine, yeah. Emperor Palpatine voice there. Do it. Let the hate flow through you. Yeah, look, this offensive line was not very good last year, Mike. I don't think I'm telling you anything that you don't already know. And they have to get back. I don't care if they had triple guys go to the NFL off of. They weren't very good. It was part of the ineffectiveness in the run game. The running backs weren't great either. I'm not going to sit here and say they.
Yeah.
But so that, and it's always been a, it's always been a strength of Georgia. Trenches has always been a strength of Georgia. And to me, it was a weakness last year.
And you had injuries as well. I mean, there was, four or five game stretch where Tate Ratledge didn't play. Yeah. He didn't play in Tuscaloosa. They've had issues. And there was just times last year where honestly both sides, not just the offensive line, but both sides at times kind of looked a little soft.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody expects to see that from the program in Athens. It just doesn't fit. So it's kind of crazy. They're looking for a bounce back here. There's no doubt about it.
Do you think when you have a quarterback that runs, it kind of creates a tougher style of play? Like when you got a quarterback that'll put his head in there and hammer out a short yardage play or something when your quarterback, you know, just a sneaker. It kind of brings when you know you can execute those plays. It feels like you're executing on a higher level with physicality.
I don't think it's just a running quarterback. I think it's the quarterback's mentality. And a lot of times I've heard people talk about Gunnar Stockton coming in against Texas, and the first time he takes off, he tries to run somebody over. And so I think that mentality does take hold in the offensive line room where you're like, this dude ain't no prima donna. This guy is ready to freaking roll and steamroll somebody, and we should be feeling the same exact way. So, yeah, I think there's something to that for sure.
Yeah. This guy doesn't drive a Lambo yet.
Not even going there. Not going to take the bait.
All right, y'all ready to play some more of my reindeer games?
I think so.
Yeah. So we're going to play Flip It Friday. Basically, I've got some audio reversed.
Oh, gosh.
We're going to see how this goes.
Right, so Missy Elliott.
How about we work together on these? It's not going to be a competition.
Okay, good.
We'll work together, see how it goes. And if it goes well, it will be a competition in the future.
All right. Are we talking about music?
We've got all different kinds of things
okay.
here.
Wow, okay. All right.
But
all right, I'm
trust that I'm playing to the audience okay. here. All right. So let's go with some easy ones. Dylan, go with number one first.
Enter Sandman, Metallica.
There you go. All right, play it back the right way, Dylan.
I'm so smart.
Nailed it.
I'm up 1-0.
We're working together, Bo. It's not a competition.
It's always a competition.
All right, let's go with number three. Mm-hmm.
What?
Mike, this should be one you're getting right now.
It sounds like Eric Church.
Uh-huh.
Can I hear it one more time? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I have to bow out. I don't know. It's Eric Church. I know I could tell, but I can't tell what song it is.
It is Eric Church. You want to play it the right way?
Drank a little drink. Smoke.
I should have nailed that. Oh my gosh.
Would I like Eric Church? I've never really listened to his stuff.
I was at like a 7 out of 10 on Eric Church before I saw him live, and it was the best concert I've ever been to.
Better than Whiskey Myers? You said Whiskey Myers was the best concert.
No,
you've
Eric
ever been
Church
to.
Was the best concert I've ever been to. Point blank. And I've been to a ton of them.
He's so good. And there's not a lot of like production around him. It's just him.
No. He played for like 3 hours so and he good. Was like, I'm gonna hurt you guys tonight. Basically, it was like, oh God. Okay. Yeah.
Eric Church is one of those where there's somebody that I know that is just like overly over the top ridiculous about him. And
he's part of the church choir.
Yeah, and so I'm just like, yeah, I'll never listen to that kind of principle.
All right, so we're gonna go with number 7. So we're skipping around a little bit, Dylan. This moment was revolutionary for a very blonde dude.
Is this person
that's
okay?
Flair. That's Ric Flair.
What?
That's Ric Flair. That's
I was going to say, is this person okay?
That's
is
Ric
he having
Flair.
A stroke?
That is Ric Flair, styling and profiling.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to tell you all with a tear in my eye. This is the greatest moment in my life. Woo! Woo!
Wait, no, no!
Just makes me want to smack Bo across the chest. Just a bow.
2-1. Yeah. All 2-0, actually. You didn't get the Eric Church one.
You got it. You got Eric Church. Sure. All right.
Okay.
Dylan, let's go with number 9. This is a moment that this city would love to relive right now.
Struggling? No, we're struggling.
Okay. It was in that second email. Poor Dylan. I send him so many emails. He has to go absolutely nuts when he sees these things come in from me.
All right.
I'll give you a heads up that we will be going to 11 after this. So skip forward to that next email.
Production value. Let's go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Anyways, are we close? Thumbs up? Yeah, here
All
we
right,
go.
Let's go with number 9.
That's Joe Buck calling the Braves World Series. I just don't know what play. It's either the final out or maybe Freddie Freeman's home run or the Soler home run.
Play it forward.
Left side, Swanson to first. The Braves are world champions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Joe Buck's voice, even backwards. And Ric Flair's apparently.
You can tell by the...
apparently.
But the thing is, the reason I didn't jump right in with the Braves thing is because Joe Buck calls so many different sporting events that you're like, he could have easily been a football game.
We don't have a lot of Falcons moments Joe Buck's called.
I know.
For us.
I know.
We have one, actually. We have one.
We don't have that many Braves moments that Joe Buck's called for us.
There's more than Falcons that were good, I would say.
Okay.
All right, the last one for Flip It Friday today. Both of you have a fair shot at this. We've been talking about this movie a lot this week. Go with number 11.
Just tap it in. Just tap it in. Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
Bobby Water Boucher. Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, Happy Gilmore. Wow.
Play it forwards.
Ooh, back, back, back. He back a little of it. Need it fast. Just need it fast.
There it is. How about we both just guess the Water Boy? In reverse, it sounded like Bobby Boucher.
Yeah, I know.
All right, thumbs up, thumbs down on Flip It Friday.
Love it.
Yeah, I like it.
Right. Love it.
I like it.
All right, we will continue that.
I think
then.
I did pretty decent at it.
Well, congratulations to both of you. Coming up, we got to talk to Jesse Bates yesterday after practice. He was gracious with his time because it was so hot out there, but he completely shocked Mike and Bo with one of his answers about what one rookie is doing. We'll play that for you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.